Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Well, we have just come through Valentine's Day, just 3 days ago. How many of you participated? Oh, many people here in this room, most folks here, participated in Valentine's Day in some way or another. You know, Valentine's Day is a day that we set aside each year to simply show and to say to those whom we care for and love very much just how much we do care for them and love them. And in fact, in so doing, it is estimated that we spend $20.7 billion on Valentine's Day. Can you imagine that? $20.7 billion on Valentine's Day. Now, that's a lot of cards, a lot of candy, and a lot of flowers, isn't it? Well, this past week, I was privileged to participate in three different Valentine banquets or luncheons. And as I was leading in those events, I stood before the group like I'm standing now, and as I looked across the room, I was seeing red. Because red is the dominant color for Valentine's Day, isn't it? Everyone was so pretty out there, and they all had on their red sweaters and their red vests, and so just seeing red across the room. Yet, no matter how much we love our spouse, no matter how much we love our significant other or our family members, it all pales in comparison to the way that God loves us. And in fact, we find an example, the best example of God's love for us in John 3:16. Now, I memorized John 3:16 as a child in the King James Version. And many of you out here did the same thing. But for our younger people, we're going to put it up on the screen here. Would you quote with me, please, John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Jesus came presenting love. And yet, the religious leaders were also seeing red. Why, they looked at Jesus and they saw him as a red flag in their lives. They saw him as a threat to their own livelihood. And so they set out to put an end to Jesus. They wanted to make sure that he was no threat whatsoever to them. But when we read through the Gospels, we discover that Jesus responded not in hate, but rather he responded in love. He willingly shed his blood and gave his body. He became a sacrifice, but more than just a sacrifice for them, he became a sacrifice for our sins as well. And so in John 3:16, we see that Jesus loved and Jesus gave. He gave his life. He willingly stretched out his arms on that cross where our arms should have gone. And he gave his life for you and for me. His love was written in red on that cross. Several years ago, a composer by the name of Gordon Jensen wrote these words that are very fitting for this particular day that we're observing this morning. In letters of crimson, God wrote his love on a hillside long, long ago. For you and for me, Jesus died, and love's greatest story was told. I love you. I love you. That's what Calvary said. I love you, I love you, I love you, written in red. Down through the ages, God wrote his love with the same hands that suffered and bled, giving all he had to give, a message so easily read. I love you. I love you. That's what Calvary said. I love you. I love you. I love you, written in red. And so today, we remember. We remember Jesus' love letter written in red. We remember his love letter written by his very blood and giving of his life. We remember to remember by observing communion, the Lord's Supper, together. Now, here at First Baptist Church, we practice what is considered open communion. That is, that we allow other people to participate. So if you're our guest today and not a member of First Baptist Church, but you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to participate with us as well today as we observe communion together. Rodney, John, would you prepare the table, please? In Luke chapter 22, we read these words. And the day of the unleavened bread came, on which the Passover must be sacrificed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and make ready for us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where will we go and make this ready? And Jesus said unto them, Behold, when you enter into the city, there you'll meet a man carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into his house. And you shall say to the master of the house, The teacher has asked, Where is the guest chamber where I can eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished. There, make the Passover ready. And they went and found as Jesus had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, Jesus sat down and his apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. It's said that on the night before Jesus' crucifixion, after celebrating the Passover with his disciples, that he took the bread and he blessed it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, This is my body, which is given for you. My friends, as we go into this high and holy moment this time, may I ask you just to simply pray and look introspectively into your own heart, your own life. You know, before we sit down for a meal, we want to make sure that we have clean hands. We go and wash up before we do that. Well, let's do that during this time together. Would you just simply bow your heads and reflect inwardly on your own heart? Is there an unconfessed sin in your life that you need to get right with God? Is there something else standing between you and your relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Spend just a few moments reflecting inwardly on Jesus and your relationship. We thank you for your forgiveness in our hearts and lives, and for the fact that you willingly stand there with your arms wide open, ready to receive us. And so we ask that during this time that we will approach you with clean hands and a pure heart as we observe this communion together. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Rodney and John, if you please, would distribute the bread. May I ask you just to look at this little piece of hard, unleavened bread. Place it in between your thumb and your forefinger and just look. Imagine the body of Christ and the fact that he willingly sacrificed himself for you. Maybe take the corner of that bread and press it into your index finger and think about the nails that pierced Jesus's skin. We were made in the image of God. And when God made you in His image, He had Himself in mind. What a humbling thought. He had Himself in mind. Look at the bread, symbolic of the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died, because he that eats of this bread will live forever." And they took the bread. On that same night, the scripture says that the Lord took the cup, and having blessed it, he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "This is my blood, which was shed for you." Would you pray with me again, please? My friends, this time, let's reflect on the blood of Jesus Christ. In just a few moments, you'll have that little thimble of a cup in your hand. Think about the fact that Jesus willingly shed his blood on Calvary for you. Again, Father, we cannot begin to comprehend the sacrifice that you made for each of us. And we say, thank you, Jesus, for willingly shedding your blood on behalf of our sins. And Father, as we partake of this juice in just a few moments, keep us mindful every day of our lives of the fact that you gave willingly for us. And may we be willing to do the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Distribute the cup, please. Thank you, gentlemen. Friends, may I ask that you just look at this thimble of grape juice. Maybe turn it where you can begin to see a tiny reflection of your face in the juice. And remember that this symbolizes the blood of Jesus Christ. And it was for your sins, for my sins, that he shed his innocent blood. You know, maybe, just maybe, this is the way the prodigal son responded. Maybe he was out there in the pig pen and he looked in a mud hole and saw his reflection in that water. And he said, "My goodness, is that me?" And the Bible says he came to himself. Look at your reflection. And like that prodigal of old, come to yourself. The book of Hebrews tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. John writes, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." And they took the cup. Paul proclaimed to each of us, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Well, my friends, let's look inwardly once more. Perhaps God has spoken to you in a very special way today. Maybe you have realized through this time of observing the ordinance of the Lord's Supper that you need to respond. Maybe that's a commitment to Christ in your life, or perhaps that is the opportunity to come and join this church. We want to give you that opportunity in just a moment, but let's pray together to begin with. Father, we thank you. We thank you for what we have done during this hour of worshiping you.
And we thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.